early words by the apostle were inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the recipients of these letters recognized in the opposite of that. Along with the Old Testament Hebrew Bible, we have a development of the New Testament. God's word focused on the nature of Jesus, the person and work of Jesus. Humble activity, speaking, writing, in the hands of God becomes revolutionary. So, Andrew would know this, and Pastor Tom, it's more than just a pile of rocks, right? That's what Suzanne said when you guys were visiting. Hey, Suzanne, what do you think? It's just a pile of rocks. Of course, Pastor Tom was joking. This is the old library in Ephesus. It's still standing. Paul was in the city. There was a near riot in the amphitheater, but Paul was there. The real historic Paul was here. I mean, look at the library. It's beautiful as an ancient building, but there are no books. There's no librarian. No one's actually using it. It's a great contrast. Civilizations will come and go, but God's preaching words will last forever. Paul preached in the city. His message, God's message, is so alive, so transforming lives. Buildings, even great buildings made out of stone and marble, that eventually cities and buildings will deteriorate. People will abandon them. But the gospel had the power transform history and culture. And this is happening. This Christmas story and the story of the early church, it's happening right now. This is not ancient story. This is not, God did awesome things in Jesus and the early church 2,000 years ago. No, it's a continual story. And the drama of these early days are still the drama of these days. Last Sunday, we prayed for someone whose father is in prison. That drama's happening now. Even last weekend, I was just being convicted by the sermons of Leonard Ravenhill. I'm still watching him. And he speaks a lot about prayer. I said, Lord, help us, the church, and me to be people of prayer. Like, are there people praying? And then as I was praying, that the Lord gave me, some visions of people praying. One group was in Iran right now, crying out. Another group was in China, crying out right now. Another group was in Nigeria. And the Lord says, no, John, if you look at the global church, there are pockets of intense prayer because of what's going on. So this is last weekend. And feeling convicted that we as a church need to grow in prayer. Despite the boredom, despite whatever, that's the key. And then yesterday, I was listening to another Ravenhill sermon about travailing prayer. I misread it first time. I thought it said traveling prayer. But you can travel and intercept. But it's travailing prayer. And it's a reflection on Galatians. My little children, I have been travailing in prayer for you until Christ is formed in me. And then he made a statement that really was convicting. And he said, basically, imagine the U.S. where all the pastors travail in prayer for their people. He's putting in the burden on the leaders, and I would agree, that's where the burden begins. And in the Presbyterian form, it's the elders. The elders are the shepherds of the church. Travail in prayer, to shed tears and go through the agony of prayer, not for the sake of emotion, but the sake of desperation, seeing people raised up in their salvation. And so the gospel has been moving forward, preaching and travailing prayer. Lisbon Cross. And that's real invitation. So Christmas is really about listening and then responding. It's about hearing the story of Christmas, but none of us is called to just spectate and listen, or like being part of an audience. That was so cute. Wow, that was stirring. That music was awesome. The Christmas message has no expectation. It's always an invitation. It's an invitation to understand what God has done, but also an invitation to respond to God today. To receive into our lives what is offered in the Christmas story. And the Christmas story, of course, is connected to Easter as well. The death of Jesus and the resurrection. So I'd like to make that invitation to all of you. To respond to the Christmas story. And to say to God, if you're willing, Lord, that story of you, Jesus, emptying yourself, becoming human, and initiating this rescue story, may that story be part of my story, that you would rescue me, and then you would use me to bring this rescue. Use me as a Stephen, as a Paul, as a Timothy, as a person that we read about. They internalize that story. The Christmas story and the resurrection story of Easter became their own story. So that you cannot understand the early disciples without that story. It became their deepest personal story. It's not a story about someone, but it's a story about you. Paul will say, if you don't want to understand me, you got to understand Jesus. I consider all his brothers compared to knowing Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. The life I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me. It becomes the deepest personal story. That grand story becomes your story. That's the core of who you are. This is who I am. If you want to know me, you have to. Then you will catch me. You will get me. Now, if you don't have that story inside of you, then Christ is not living fully in you. And I pray that Christ lives fully in you. So this is an invitation. So let's take just a few minutes to close in prayer.